Greetings to all of you who are listening to us in this virtual roundtable promoted by ICAO's regional office, the International Civil Aviation Organization, with the purpose of sharing with all of you the challenges, actions, and outlook regarding the regional civil aviation in face of the COVID-19 juncture. I'm Fabio Arvani, Regional Director of ICAO's office, and we have some very special guests with us who will give us the view on this issue and their outlook beyond this crisis. First of all, I would like to introduce the Director and CEO of the National Civil Aviation Agency of Brazil, ANAC, Mr. Juliano Norman, the Director General of Aerocivil of Colombia, Juan Carlos Salazar, and the Executive Secretary of the Latin American Civil Aviation Commission, Jaime Binda. It is very important to highlight that we are living a moment of uncertainty, and the position of our guests and what is being discussed here has no intention of reflecting a final view of the actors or their organizations, but rather to give all of us here some information and also some good ideas that could be shared, as well as good experiences that have been adopted by the states and by the regional organization. In addition to that, the elements we are building here will contribute to the vision and the actions that may be taken at a national and regional level, so supporting the industry, because this is a chain that has been highly impacted by this critical moment and which naturally expects some rapid action to guarantee a response to all the needs of the peoples in these moments of crisis, and also to be able to recover and thus sustain the industry and all its actors. So let us now start by talking about the challenges and main actions adopted during the first moment of crisis. And I would like to start this giving the floor to the director of ANAC Brazil. Juliano, from your viewpoint of the measures being adopted by the Brazilian state, what are your expectations and the main challenges you had in those first moments and the actions adopted, the ones that were successful in response to the current situation? Fabio, thank you very much for this opportunity. This is a great and excellent initiative. All of us living some unique moments, all of us with a lot of work. This is a huge challenge. And to be able to have this type of talk, to share experiences, is a very important and enriching opportunity. So once again, my congratulations for this great initiative. First of all, I would like to tell you that I will speak in Portuguese very slowly so that you can all understand me. It is very important to put into the right context this year. 2020 was the year when we were going to take up the growth, the very important growth of Brazil. We were expecting a growth rate of above two digits. So the idea of the expectations of the airlines, expecting to receive an average of two aircraft per week that would be added to their fleets, was an environment of great optimism, of great growth. Recently, Brazil had adopted some measures that would facilitate the attraction of foreign capital and ease of regulations for the air transportation in order to have new business models in the country. So this was a very optimistic environment with lots of expectations. And all of a sudden, and I would say that practically overnight, the airlines began to notice that air transport sales were plummeting around 20% per day. So the domestic market in that first moment, well, they were not noticing any reduction in terms of reservations or anything. Everything was going fine in the domestic market, but at that moment, we turned on the yellow light, the amber light. ANAC was already participating in a work team together with the Ministry of Health in order to support the actions to face COVID-19, because we were getting news since December from China. So we understood that we had to take up some social distancing measures. Not as initially foreseen. The initial idea was that this was going to happen more slowly, that is, country by country around the world. But then all of a sudden, the scenario changed and the outlook was that everything would happen very quickly at the same time. So from there, what we did was to try to organize our actions, both of the National Civil Aviation Agency and of the Ministry of Infrastructure, to face this scenario. So I'll try to split this into three axes. The first axis, the financial one. In face of a scenario where there was a drop in the reserves and as a consequence of a drop in the reserves and the company added to the lockdown and closing of front borders, and that would affect all the number of tickets that had already been sold were not going to be flown, so there was going to be an increase in reimbursements. We knew that this was a matter of time. It would arrive to the domestic market, and the companies were already dropping their costs, and the costs are fixed, most of them. So we tried to see that there was going to be a very serious cash flow problem. From the initial moment, the cash flow problem was going to be the new challenge. Well, having said this, we encouraged some actions, and the Ministry of Infrastructure, together with ANAC and the Ministry of Economy, began to study some measures that would be adopted in the sector. I'll highlight a couple of initial measures that ended up having, but there are some others that I will mention later on. But in that very first moment, a couple of measures were adopted to try to stop, to a certain extent, this drop in the outflow of cash flow. One of them was air companies to reimburse passengers that wanted a reimbursement that were not going to fly again. The companies would be given 12 months to reimburse the amount of the ticket to passengers in order to avoid this use up of cash flow in the very short term. There was another action of putting off the payment of some tariffs. The main one for airlines was the air navigation tariffs, because they were seasonally paid in Brazil with an accumulated value to be paid. So the government postponed payment of those tariffs, and they began to study payment of reimbursements. Those would be the first two initial measures, I would say. There were some other measures that were adopted to be in charge of ANAC, like the concession of slots, and the slots were given until October. According to the rules, all airports have to coordinate their slots. So based on that, we began to enable licenses for civil aviation personnel, crew, and all personnel, knowing that the licensing and social distancing measures would have an impact on the training processes. And the drop in flights was going to be huge, so that would be a huge pressure So we put off the terms of our licenses. The postponement was of 120 days. So we began to adopt some regulatory measures to try to accommodate the regulatory environment so that's new reality. If I could summarize, was a shock, a sudden shock that had not been foreseen. So we tried to give the companies the right conditions to make all their internal adjustments they had to make in a matter of 48 to 72 hours, which was more or less the period in which all this happened. Well, all these measures were also extended to the airports. We have a program of airport concession that's very comprehensive in Brazil. There are many airports. Almost all of them are under concession, so we managed to extend a number of licenses and training licenses and certifications. We extended the validity of them. We postponed for a matter of 12 months payment of concessions of airports because they pay a royalty to the government. So it was the postponement covered until December, 20th of December of this year, 9 months actually, to alleviate the cash flow of companies, airport companies. So we began to study with them a number of decisions, operational decisions that make a lot of sense when there is much less demand. Airports where they have 35 to 40 movements per hour, and they were going to go to 20, 30 movements per day. So there were a number of flexibilization allowing airports to operate without one single operational level, to close some taxiways if you have more than one taxiway. They would operate intermittently. We made some changes in that sense to try to make some adjustments, provide operational flexibility in this new scenario. In like manner, we adopted some measures for ground handling companies, for example. The work done within ANAC to try to adjust the regulatory environment to this new reality. And at the same time, we have a very serious program. Almost all the measures were almost simultaneously, but not always are coordinated by the states that try to close down the borders. All of a sudden, we saw that we all had this problem, and we had passengers trying to come back to the country, and we had to make huge effort to improve operations. Even in direct flights or connections where we managed to get this solution, by doing a huge work with the states in order to allow citizens to be repatriated. In the case of Brazil, we were careful to not only take into account Brazilian passengers, understanding that Brazil is a very big hub for Latin American connections. So together with the government and the Ministry of Justice, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Health, we got an understanding of the importance of the airport infrastructure and air transport. So in the public calamity decree, this was regarded as an essential service, so therefore it had to remain open. And the decrees of closing borders try to take into account those foreigners that were in the and connecting flights as well as Brazilians that were coming from Europe, everybody trying to go back to their respective countries. So we were very careful not to close down borders completely. And that's when we began working together with the authorities to do this repatriation of citizens. All this happening at the same time. Things were getting worse and worse very quickly. At some point, before concluding, I would like to mention something related to Brazil. Some states, when they began to adopt their isolation measures, they asked a complete lockdown. And that was a huge work we had to do with the states so that they could understand that airports would work not only to the purpose of the federal government, but also to the purposes of each state. because it was the main source. Brazil is the main source of distribution of material, biological and medical material even related to fight COVID-19. As in like manner, the transfer of medical staff, medical personnel. So by way of an initial contribution, this is what I wanted to say. I think it took me so long, but these were the first measures that we adopted in Brazil. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Giuliano. I think that you've given us the very first impact of this crisis, and especially the measures adopted by Brazil. We see that it was a mix of actions, of operational and economic actions to guarantee operations to be kept available at the minimum, and then the aviation route would be maintained in Brazil. At this point, I would like to invite the Director General of Civil Aviation, Juan Carlos. Juan Carlos, I ask you the same question. What was the initial impact of the measures adopted so far in order to face this outbreak that has taken up the whole world, and now it's here in South America? Thank you, Fabio. Boa tarde to my colleagues, and thank you very much for this invitation. The experience in Colombia is quite similar to what Juliano has just described regarding the Brazilian experience, taking into account the proportions, of course. The first thing is that the national Colombian government began to adopt some measures, announcing them in advance in order to start restricting the arrival of passengers, foreign passengers, in international flights, and then the measure to suspend the arrival of all international passengers, foreign and Colombian passengers, and then to restrict even domestic operations because the president of Colombia in order to generate this process of preventive mandatory isolation, as we call it in Colombia, the lockdown for all citizens, trying to avoid the quick propagation of the virus in Colombia. This given us a very good result, at least to flatten the curve. Now, of course, the decision made by the president and supported by health reasons and declaration of the emergency situation in the country as a result of the coronavirus pandemic had a very direct impact on many activities in the economy, and of course, a very direct impact on air transport and the whole infrastructure. And this process was given very quickly, very frantic, and as civil aviation, we are at the same time the authority, and we also provide air navigation services, and at the same time, we're responsible for several public airports in Colombia. So we had to act in different levels and very quickly. Maybe just to describe some of the measures, I would like to highlight that the first thing we did was to make a decision regarding not to require compliance of payment of slots for those airports coordinated in Colombia. I think we were one of the first authorities in adopting that decision. So we also agreed with the government not to charge parking tariffs for those aircraft that remained on ground. Also, we had 132 aircraft on ground in different airports in the country. So, one of the first measures adopted was actually while those aircraft remained on ground, they were not going to be paying parking fees. And after that, we've also been working with the various actors in the chain, airlines, airports. workshops, the very air navigation service provider to deal with the expiry of licenses, of medical checkups, and those requirements. Because in a normal period, they would not be changed, but in view of this juncture, where we need to have social distancing, and we're even trying to avoid circulation of people, this kind of training activities and medical checkups and so on are obviously impossible to be done, and that is why we've been issuing a number of waivers. Everything, of course, based on or supported by safety studies and together with what is being done in other sectors in the government. On the other hand, we also have some measures, economic measures, where the industry of air transport and the infrastructure itself face huge challenges regarding a cash flow. This is an industry that lives on future sales for the next season, for the next month. And since all air operations are suspended, this is seriously affecting all the airlines and the whole air navigation chain in Colombia. And the Colombian government so far has adopted some measures, making a huge effort, of course, but well, this obviously does not fully guarantee financial viability of all the actors in the chain. For example, we've suspended the charge of leases in infrastructure, still managed by Colombia Civil Aviation Authority. We've agreed with different actors in the chain regarding payment agreements. Related to different debts of fees of services we provide to the different actors in the chain. We've been working in order to suspend environmental restrictions that we have in some airports. This was another important measure because cargo operations is critical at this point. In view of such a complex situation the industry is going through at this point, the main challenge for civil aviation is that we are one more actor in the chain. Civil aviation, as air navigation service provider, we also, well, our income depends also on the operation of the whole air transport system since it's suspended and since it seems that it will still be affected, we do not know for how long. That has affected the forecast of income in civil aviation, and we have had to review all the projects that we were studying since last year in order to see how to face the challenges we have this year in view of the drastic drop of our revenues, estimated in one third of our revenues. So we have had to revisit all our projects and our expenses. And in addition to that, with another major challenge we have that the Colombian government has asked us as a civil aviation authority to keep the airport infrastructure that is of the essence for cargo and humanitarian flights, to keep it operating. So we have all our air navigation services and some of our airport services available so that the essential air operations can continue in this time of lockdown. And in addition to that, I would like to say that at this point, I see two major challenges. The first one is that as a sector, and I think this is common to all the world, since this is a public health crisis, a pandemic, obviously, the leader, the decision maker, is the health authority. In Colombia, we have the Ministry of Health, with whom we've been working, but there are some local health authorities as well, local governors. So that is a complexity that I think Juliana also mentioned when he mentioned the state governments in Colombia. We've also faced that big challenge, previously a system that was coordinated nationwide. Now, the main difficulty, the main challenge we have is coordination with local authorities, because in our legal system, they can try to take some legal action in order to limit air transport or closing airports. So unfortunately, that didn't happen. But I think that is going to be a huge challenge to reactivate air transport, at least locally in Colombia. We'll have to do a lot of work with local authorities, trying to get their trust once again, so that airports may operate and so that flights may be received again when the public health crisis is overcome. This is initially what I wanted to point out. Thank you, Fabio, and I give the floor to my colleagues. Thank you very much for your presentation, Juan. I think that it's been shown that the states have been proactive in the adoption of measures, and at the same time, the aviation sector has responded to the demands and decisions of the health authorities, and of course, to the needs of the population regarding cargo transport. No doubt, the impact generated by the measures adopted at this point, especially regarding the cargo that is on hold in passengers' aircraft, reduces this responsive capacity, because we have to be able to recover as soon as possible this important logistics sector for the region. Taking this view into account, I think we could invite Jaime Bender, Executive Secretary of the Latin American Civil Aviation Commission. In this broader outlook of the impact generated to society, to the aviation sector, and regarding the first actions regionally, even regarding cargo, this is something that you could highlight in your first words, Jaime. Thank you, Fabio. Thank you very much for this invitation. I commend you on this initiative to share experiences as a secretary of the Latin American Civil Aviation Commission. Just like the director's president here and you yourself, Fabio, we have lived this phenomenon, this COVID crisis, knowing that it was coming up, but without really realizing how fast things came up. WHO first told us to be on the alert, and then it declares a pandemic, and very quickly do we have to react to a crisis that was completely unexpected. Men and women who have vocation in aviation are in this field to connect people. And what the World Health Organization recommended was not to be connected, to keep social distancing and to stay home. And aviation became a vector that can transfer the virus. And against human nature, which is to hug each other, we had to, for very obvious reasons, to protect human life, we had to start up a number of restrictions, which in some countries are quite stringent. At LACAC, we are learning that air transport would double. We were foreseeing that it would double in Latin America and the Caribbean in the next 10 years. And then all of a sudden, we are living a scenario of total uncertainty. We do not know what's coming up in the future. A future that we had forecasted no longer exists. We have to think again about the future.
And well, the challenges we had was that of adaptation as an international organization to be adapted to teleworking, a new way of communication for us. And I would like to acknowledge through Juan Carlos Salazar and Julian Norman from Colombia and Brazil, the extraordinary effort of adaptation of the Latin American aviation authorities, first of all, to solve the crisis of repatriation, that is, to bring back those citizens to their respective countries whenever possible. And actually, this has been an extraordinary adaptation effort. And we're not ready for such a quick adaptation, but the very vocation of aviation fortunately made us move rather fast in these matters. So I would say that the first major challenge we've all had to face is that of adaptation. And the second one is to understand that we are within a system. So not only do we talk here about air transport, but rather the system of air transport, because there are many actors in the chain. This air transport system, in turn, is within our larger social and economic system. And everything changed there as well, because when decisions are made by other actors, not the aeronautical authorities anymore, we had to understand how to make this system keep on operating. And the main challenge here has been to stay united. International aviation has international standards, universal standards that should not vary from one country to another. But since many decisions vary from each state, this understanding is lost because each state adopts its own decisions, and this is what we see in Latin America and, of course, in the rest of the world. So the challenge here is to stay united. The first thing we did as LACAC was to get together with ICAO-SAM, ICAO-NAM, with Pablo, Fabio, Melvin, and we managed to start talking about the future, what we can do now. In view of this new future that we have to guess how it's coming up, what can we do? And this challenge then is to start that search, to become adapted, to stay united, and to find a new future. That new future, which is the major challenge, we wanted to start by studying the cargo because it seems evident that cargo is an essential part of air transport that will not disappear, just like a transport of health care personnel. So we're all together. We've asked the Latin American aeronautical authorities to send us the best experts, and we want to think about getting standards for the region that may be uniform so as to manage the serious situation of supply, especially of healthcare supply, so that this may not disappear. Sorry for the interruption, because of the siren. Well, finally, the challenges are enormous. From now on, we'll have to think out of the box to find some incentives so that the demand for air transport may be reactivated. And these incentives cannot be found using the old recipes. We'll have to find new recipes, and the best way of getting them is thinking together. Thank you very much, Fabio.
Jaime, you've given us a broad understanding of the sector and of society in general, and I think that you've done it in a very professional manner. So very you. I thank you for your vision, for your understanding of the social aspect of the economic nature in its broadest sense. But of course, at the end of the day, it will have an impact on our cultural environment as well. And there we'll have to try to build the steps to resume activities in society and in aviation as a whole. So
As Juliana mentioned, the initial impact was on the international aviation. Probably the resumption will start on domestic flights, while countries will still try to guarantee the control of their borders as strictly as possible. This resumption will require several actions of a national nature, of course, but if we don't do that regionally or globally, then we already know the impact. We went through that process when we had the 2001 attempts, where the security measures are still generating serious imbalance between the measures adopted by different countries. And there we have the inspection procedures that are valid in one country but are not recognized by another country when we need the facilitation of air transport. And that has an enormous impact. This imbalance, or I would say the total lack of agreement on the countries on the understanding of necessary measures. So we need to see how to adopt health measures required by health authorities. And at the same time, these requirements may not be interpreted equally, but rather differently, and thus generate a huge impact on a system that, as Jaime said, could even be seen as a vector of this pandemic, or as part of a vector of this pandemic that is floating around. Well, so the question I would have to ask is, what's the role of the countries in this process? What's the role of organizations and the multilateral aspect we have to adopt from the moment we start our activities? There's some planning that will have to be done immediately. There are some scenarios that we'll have to take into account, but there are some measures to be adopted. Part of this process is to acknowledge that this resumption will have to be gradual, but it cannot go through any doubts or unnecessary delays. And we have to understand the risks we are facing. We've identified the risks related to operational capacity, the financial capacity, the employment issue, travel restrictions that we will probably have because of health issues, and at the same time, the natural reduction of in the demand. So how do we do this joint planning? How to adopt immediate measures that may guarantee the maintenance of aviation, at least to the minimum level, while we await resumption of operations and at the same time the possibility of resuming operations? So, how to rebuild all this in an efficient manner so that it may not be simply a set of individual measures? Rather, coordination representing coordinated measures for the aviation system. So, how do we do this work together with the industry, the states, and the multilateral organizations? How to work as of now? I think that Julian could also say something more about the measures already being adopted, and then our colleagues could also say what actions they foresee to be adopted as of now. Giuliano, please.
Yes, thank you, Fabio. I would like to talk about the future outlook because it's a very interesting and challenging part for all of us as regulators. But it's still hard to have a clear idea as to when we will be able to flip the page, move forward, and what the new world scenario will be like. That will obviously have an impact on civil aviation. But before talking about that, please allow me to talk first about the first measures to face the initial impact in Brazil. What happened during the first week after the first closures of borders and things like that? At some point, there was this expectation that those initial measures
would be enough, but at least in the short term, they would be able to manage the situation. But then the next week, things went too fast. As Juan and Jaime and you, Fabio, mentioned it very well, the situation worsened very quickly, and the problem worsened overnight. And at some point, we realized that those measures were not going to be enough for the initial horizon was for 1 month, but quite likely that would be extended. And that is when we at ANAC, allow me please to explain for 1 minute what we did in ANAC to do some replanning to respond to these maximum contingencies to cover more than those initial 30 days. And there, what we did was realizing that the scope of actions within the Ministry of Health and how the state governments were trying to manage things in response to corona, all the purchases of material being imported from other countries, and the domestic production in Brazil, all that would have to be transported very quickly within the national territory because there was an increasing demand. Everything was very urgent. I'm talking mainly about material, but in the case of Brazil, I mean also the transport of people related to essential services, not only medical personnel, but security people as well, and things like that. So things were happening very quickly, and obviously everything was very urgent. So what we did then was to draft some logistics corridors. And the additional challenge there was to have airlines operating because, well, we would guarantee the airport infrastructure open, but to guarantee the flights of airlines in view of such a drop in the demand, it was really hard to build these logistic corridors to fight COVID. And on the other hand, there was this industry that was not able to respond to have a number of flights as a result of the drop in the demand that was taking place then. So we had to meet with the airlines. We managed through ANAC to include the Agency to Defend Competition called CADE. We included it, so it was ANAC, CADE, and the airlines. We sat all together. We identified some minimum premises for operation, and together with the airlines, we promoted an adjustment in the network. Of course, taking care so that the airlines would not coordinate this network amongst themselves. It was ANAC that ended up leading this process, taking care of following all the competition standards. So we defined some premises like that we had to cover all the states and all the regions in Brazil. We have 27 states plus a federal district, and in one state, in some states with more than one airport. So we had a set of 28 sites that were defined as major distribution hubs in each state. So at that point, the first premise was to have at least one weekly flight to each state. And based on that, we defined some other regional premises. Brazil is a very large country, so we had to cover a whole territory, and the Amazon region received special attention because transport there is by river, but that was not fast enough to face the pandemic. And to leave it without air transport would mean to leave those cities just to their own luck. So we designed premises of that kind and in other regional airports, taking into account distances and radius of 150 to 200 kilometers between cities. We tried to create a network of cities so that airlines would build their networks. And we managed to have a network covering the 27 capital cities of our states, plus an additional 19 cities. So we reduced the coverage of 130 cities down to 49, sorry, to 46. But in that way, we managed to have daily flights to all the capital cities. So instead of having them on a weekly basis, we had them on a daily basis. But connectivity was very reduced. From a horizon of 2,400 flights per day, we went down to 200, 190 flights per day, depending on the day. And some weekend days was 150 flights. So that was a brutal drop of almost 90%. But in this way, no Brazilian state was left isolated, shall we say, because there were airline connections. And at the same time, knowing the demand for large or small cities was very important, ENAC worked together with air taxi companies, and we created a special manual to guide them in the transportation of biological material, hazardous material. So we designed a manual with them, and we authorized all those air taxi companies to carry goods to fight the pandemic. And in that way, we added 120 duly trained companies to provide the service with a total of 900 aircraft. A third measure, we worked together with the states and the public state forces, like the local military police, firefighters, environmental units that also have substantial aircraft fleets, around 300 aircraft, more or less. So we worked with them. We authorized them to transport goods. But there's still another measure that's being finalized, which is to allow passenger aircraft to carry cargo in their main cabin. Our technical department is finalizing the scope, the regulatory aspects of that proposition, so we would have the necessary air service matching the airport infrastructure. And in that way, we would be able to fight the pandemic. At the same time, we have to strengthen financial measures. And there, allow me to mention just a few of them. For example, public banks in Brazil managed to have a working capital line for air companies. Under special conditions, with more time to pay, the main development bank in Brazil suspended payment of loan installments of airport operators. The federal government put off a payment of a number of state and federal taxes so that companies would be able to make some cash and thus face a period that would be longer than initially expected. There are some other measures that are still being expected to be approved in a matter of 10 days. One of them is that the federal government that now buys around R$700 million reals worth of air tickets. The idea is to make advanced purchases and take into account their market share and the like. So they will be making some advanced purchases, and thus the federal government will have a large credit. And when flights are resumed, the companies will be crediting this loan. It's a way of strengthening companies. This is an idea of the development bank that is studying other means of financing through the issuance of debentures in a substantial amount. The idea is for companies to issue debentures so that the bank may buy them. Well, these are some additional measures to face the problems we're having. The Ministry of Health, according to the Ministry of Health, there will be some restrictions until August of September.
or September. This is the measure that we'll have to survive with in Brazil, maybe until September. Well, having said this, let's now try to respond to your question, Fabio. What will we be having when all this is over? Well, according to our forecasts, I'm glad that we share the same idea, is that the domestic market will be the first one to recover. The international market will feel for a long time still the impact of this pandemic. But still, this domestic market to go back to those levels of 2019 and the forecasts of 2020, which were highly promising, that would take at least 2 to 3 years to be obtained. Taking into account that the world economies will be suffering a low, and that has direct impact on the demand for air transport. And I'm only talking about traditional demand, a correlation between GDP, income, and air transport, without taking into account all the changes that are resulting from all this. People need to start trusting going out again. So all these measures of video conference, working from home, all the measures that are being adopted by different companies will remain in the day-to-day operations of the companies. So, well, we are working on a scenario like that one. So eventually we'll have to think about making more adjustments to the regulatory measures to face this new reality. And there, as Jaime said, I also think that the more successful we are in terms of cooperation amongst countries, and the more demand we have in our domestic markets, the faster we will be able to recoup the previous levels. And there, we've been thinking about some things that have already been discussed. Maybe we should speed up the process, like, for example, a common certification environment with a lot of flexibility for companies that are becoming more and more regional companies, that they could be better managed and become highly competitive with the costs. There's also a program to exchange aircraft. So we need to move forward and expedite that process with other countries. In Brazil, this is hard because of some union issues related to wet leasing, for example. It makes a lot of sense for companies to have more flexibility to increase and reduce the crew during the low seasons and to create a more efficient cost structure. But all that, I think that goes through a very close cooperation process. And at the same time, a matter of joining efforts as a region. The more successful we are in these measures, the better for us, for example. And something more related to the freedoms. For example, we need to bring material from China, right? So eventually, we have talked with some states because our cargo, plus the cargo of another state, would take up one single flight instead of having to pay separate freight charges. So the company that ends up being chosen asks whether it can operate because in some countries it involves the seventh freedom. So how are we going to do this? So we'll have to be facing all these discussions, but from a different viewpoint. We've been working a lot with embassies. I'm really excited to talk about the solidarity of all the states that have been highly cooperative in terms of repatriation. One state covered the cost of one leg, and the other state covered the other leg, and things like that. So, and in this way, I conclude.
I've tried to give some answers. The cooperation will have to be more and more, and in this way, we will be able to take a transfer to a different level, and in time, we'll be able to recover the levels of demands that we had. It's a matter of trust, maybe. We've talked a lot with the Ministry of Health. There are safety protocols and sanitation in airports that are being practiced nowadays, but they should remain after the pandemic. And I think that that could be incorporated in the routines of the airports and airlines in order to recoup the confidence of passengers and create a sanitized environment following the new requirements. Sanitation requirements resulting from the pandemic. We have our guidelines to reduce costs as well. I just want to mention a couple of examples because I've taken too long, but there is a exaggerated litigation culture in Brazil, and together with the high price of fuel, those are problems that we have internally, but we have to discuss these measures so that we can allow air transport to become more accessible, more reachable. We have to take this demand more seriously. I apologize for taking too long. Thank you very much.
Juliana has given us this understanding that things have been changing week after week, and measures have also that gradual nature. There are actions that had gradually become adapted to the reality. And it's also very important to highlight this aspect of solidarity by states regarding humanitarian flights that are guaranteeing the repatriation of all citizens that need to go back to their homes. In this resumption process, what we expect is efficiency and speed. There are some initiatives that may help enormously in this resumption process. For example, the regional safety surveillance system that throughout the years has proven to be very efficient in the promotion of compliance of international standards. Now there is an opportunity to deal with the harmonization of regulations, procedures, certification and surveillance processes in order to allow the simplification of activities and also to avoid redundancy and saving the resources of the states and the industries in the normal processes that we have in aviation. How do you see this process, and how can mechanisms of like this can guarantee the actions we need to adopt to make them more efficient for the whole sector?
Well, no doubt, this juncture, this crisis has shown us how important standardization is for the viability of air transport, international air transport, and even within our countries. When each country, when each authority, each region begins to adopt its own decisions regarding a specific issue, like a health issue, for example, then it immediately becomes global aviation unviable. And then the comment you make about increasing the role played by the regional system to find some harmonized rules becomes of special importance at this point. Of course, at this point, we need to remember that the crisis has a pandemic origin, a public health issue that started it. So these are other concerns, other goods that are to be protected, which is the life and health of individuals. There are other systems leading the decisions that affect us all, especially in air transport. So I would also say, in addition to what you say, is that it's not only a task for a regional safety surveillance system, but it is also a matter of cooperation with regional health authorities. I don't know, in the region we have the Pan-American Health Organization. How important it would be for the regional system to start working hand in hand with PAHO in order to give some protocols that may be complied with by all the states, so that international aviation may be viable once again. That's what I think could be a valuable contribution of the regional system, working hand in hand with the regional health organizations. And ICAO would be working together with the WHO in order to have some standardized guidelines, because in aviation, that is of the essence. On the other hand, I would like to say that I fully agree with Giuliano. Here in Colombia, we think that there will be an early reactivation of domestic air transport, and international air transport will take a bit longer to be reactivated because of this. That is, until we get common standards or until there is a vaccine against this virus. And in that way, we can go back to normalcy. The fate of our sector, of our industry, I think, is fully linked to the possibility of overcoming this public health crisis, or that there is a vaccine that may help us overcome this generalized fear there is in the world due to the devastating effects of this pandemic. In that order of ideas, I would also like to agree with what Jaime says, that in Colombia, and I think that in many countries in the region as well, we had a very optimistic outlook, some growth forecasts based on which we had built a whole vision for the year 2030, that is for practically for the next 10 years. And at this point, the main lesson out of all this is that we need to rebuild everything again from the ashes. That is, we need to rethink as authorities, as infrastructure, what we were thinking as an industry and as an air transport service. I think that is the task we have as aviation authorities in the region and in the world. We have to think again about all this and agree on the rules of the game that will once again allow us to build an international civil aviation on more solid grounds. And that is done based on solidarity, as Giuliano was saying. We have to work better and improve our communications amongst aviation authorities. Initially, for example, to facilitate those repatriation flights, those humanitarian flights, also to agree on rules of the game so as to have safe aviation, take into account biosecurity, to have it with compatible standards in our region and in the world. Those are my conclusions. Great, Juan. We have to think out of the box now. Actually, the mechanisms we have, the way in which we plan, we have to rethink about this. And hopefully, we hope to be able to take up the action line in the next few years. But after that, how are we going to be using those existing mechanisms in order to get the best out of all the actions that we will be doing in order to guarantee the lifeline of aviation and support its full recovery? So we start there to discuss how to convey to all levels of authorities and governments and the various economic sectors this important message we have, that aviation never stopped trying to satisfy the needs of the peoples, even at critical times like this one, that it needs to keep its lifeline, that it needs to keep its sector at least alive at this moment, and to get the support for its comprehensive recovery that we expect in future years. Jaime, how do you think we can convey this message so that it may reach all corners, so that it may reach society and authorities to guarantee their contribution and commitment in this process, how to make them understand the importance of aviation that it had throughout all these years, the economic and social importance of aviation, the importance it's had in these critical moments, and the importance we expect it to have after all what's happening. How to convey this message? What is your vision about this?
Well, this is a question that actually made us coordinate our actions as LACAC, as ICAO, and with the private sector as well. Because the way to make an appeal to the authorities so they may understand the importance of aviation as an essential means to attain the economic and social development of our peoples is by having one single voice and not many voices. To make them understand that since this is a system, we should all do our part in order to at least reach a minimum level of operation of aviation in its most critical aspects. COVID brought about a multi-dimensional crisis. It is a civilization crisis, some may say. Let's be a bit more specific. There is the health crisis and the economic crisis. Whenever we think about air transport according to standard logic, as we were saying, we estimate that aviation growth rate is twice the growth rate of GDP. It's usually like that, a bit more, a bit less, depending on the country. And we know that what we have today is an economic crisis, eventually a future global recession that, according to some forecasts, it will be one of the worst recessions in our history. So aviation will obviously have that fate. The demand of passenger transport will drop, not only this year, but also in upcoming years, because we will have an economic crisis, and by the way, authorities at the highest levels are thinking about that crisis, but not only about the health crisis. And the most affected party in all this was aviation, together with tourism. So what should we do in order to be the first in line? Aviation, as we were saying, and cargo transport will be needing some standards. We need the seventh freedom so that cargo transport may be easily developed. But air cargo transport will remain at reasonable levels because we need it. But the passengers' demand the passengers' demand will be affected not only due to the economic crisis, but also because there are cultural changes, changes in the way we work. Like right now, we are using technology to communicate among ourselves. All the businesses are using teleconference methods that will remain as part of our future habits. All the universities and schools are teaching using these same mechanisms. Just imagine the number of study trips will drop in the future. Aviation will compete with these platforms as a new way of competition. So we need to attract people once again and encourage them to travel. And we can't do this alone. It's not to be done by aviation alone. Again, this is a complex system. It seems to me that what is coming up, and we need to convince authorities about this, is that economic hubs will change. The way we traditionally saw globalization will change.
Europe will be consolidating its trade within Europe itself. And the challenge for Latin America and the Caribbean is to do the same thing. So I agree with Juan Carlos and Giuliano. Yes, the domestic transport in some Latin American countries that have it will be the first one to be reactivated. Intercontinental transport will take much longer, but regional transport, first with cargo transport, is the first one that should be reactivated. And this makes us think as a region. And thinking as a region means that we should put down all our flags, to put down all our ideologies, our political ideas. It is to think in a different way. It is to say that, well, the dream of the integration in Latin America and the Caribbean comes from this crisis. And aviation is probably the transport means par excellence, the one that will lead us to build this integration in Latin America and the Caribbean. And this old dream can be reactivated again, because we will need, I mean, no country, not even Brazil, can produce everything by itself. It will need to trade, and it will need to trade at first, I think, with Latin America and the Caribbean countries. We will have to be able to rebuild, to refound our economies. And in all this process, aviation should play an active role. Allow me, Fabio, to quote you, because you told me this once, that this is like our mobile phone that has a battery. If we let the battery get completely discharged and we want to use our phone again, it will be very difficult to use it again in those conditions. Therefore, even if it is just 1% of our authorities, we need to convince our authorities, that aviation should be preserved. I think we've heard many ideas here. I'll just mention a very interesting one regarding future airfares. Airlines won't be able to get into the futures market to buy oil today because they need cash. They won't be able to gain any efficiency there. But what may happen, as it's happened in Brazil, is that the state buys future airfares, thinking specifically on the domestic transport. I want to highlight that measure that Juliana mentioned and that I think could be replicated in some other Latin American countries. Juan Carlos Salazar was telling me that what they've done in Colombia is to do rate management, and I find this very relevant because it is not happening in all of Latin America. To keep an active aviation is quite a challenge, and we need to convince our authorities, not the aviation authorities because they do understand this, rather, we need to convince the ministries of economy, of finance, of our countries, even our presidents. Otherwise, the economic reactivation and the well-being of our people will be at stake. And here we are not thinking about bailing out the owners or shareholders. We are thinking about the global system of our economies that allow us to improve the lives of all of us. This is what I can say at this point.
Quite right, Jaime. Your view about the way in which we need to take into account this resumption process and the economic and social performance based on a bailout of the economic activities in general will require this kind of understanding that there should be a gradual response starting in the regions, of course, with the consensus of the states, of the countries, so to guarantee that we may be able to help in those actions in a positive manner, linking us with the visions of each country. I leave the floor open now so that our participants may make any additional comments or questions.
Thank you, Fabio. Thank you very much. Well, Juliano said that in Brazil, they are thinking about authorizing cargo in passengers' aircraft. We received similar requests in Colombia, which we are analyzing. We'd like to know ANAC's opinion about those requests and what they are doing about that. Sure, Juan. With pleasure. We are having talks with the operators and also with the main aircraft manufacturers of the most common fleet we have in Brazil, that is Boeing, Airbus, Embraer, to try to understand the specific characteristics of the projects and then eventually create the right scope of certification for each type of aircraft. At first, in ANAC, we thought it would be possible to create a more general type of authorization with some specific safety measures that would guarantee the proper placement of the cargo, that there would not be any overload on the seat rails and things like that. Some issues related to firefighting. But then, after analyzing the characteristics of each aircraft project and all that, and after talking with each vendor, we've realized that it would not be possible. And now we're working on a case-by-case basis with each aircraft, taking into account the characteristics of each company. We're working on specific authorization processes. But the rationale of the work of ANAC, what's behind all this, is to create a protocol, create a number of items and care measures that the companies must have. And obviously, this, in accordance with the specifications of each aircraft, and the certification aspects of each aircraft. And then we can issue an authorization so that the aircraft, I mean, the company, can conduct that kind of transport with that aircraft in those specific conditions. So just to mention some minor details, but the cargo conditions vary from one model to another, from one vendor to another. The way to fix the cargo directly on the seat rail varies. Some recommend it to attach the cargo directly on the safety seat. Others recommend fixing the cargo directly on the trail that is under the seats. Anyway, details like that. But basically, we are about to complete the process with our three main operators. Obviously, we'll be very pleased to share with you all those details. Our team is at your disposal to exchange experiences, and eventually, we'll manage to overcome this challenge jointly. Because this is becoming a very important issue. I can talk about what happens in Brazil, but I suppose that it also happens in all the other countries. Cargo aircraft are in increasing demand. So to create a cargo supply, a supply of aircraft that may carry cargo, we'll have to think about a solution like that one. Otherwise, if we're not successful, we'll see huge delays in the transport of all the material that is so important to guarantee the health of our population. Anyway, our agency is at your full disposal to discuss these matters and share the experience we've gained so far.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. We've received a very rich load of information. We have a lot to reflect upon, and I hope that this talk has been of benefit for all of you. I open the floor so you can give us your final thoughts. Juliano, please. Julia. Thank you, Fabio. Once again, I would like to congratulate you on this initiative. I know that for all of us in Brazil, it's a great pleasure. It is always an honor to be together with our colleagues, our brothers. It is always very important to discuss, exchange experiences. Juan and Jaime,
I always say this. I am a deep admirer of the work of both of you. We've been together in many battles. And once again, I would like to congratulate you. One final thought, one final message is, and we've said this a lot internally, that this will be over. It will certainly be over. Things will be different from last year after all this. The economy of air transport will be different, but together and only together will we be able to overcome the challenges and will come out much stronger after this. I truly believe in this, and I know that what I say is based on this need to strengthen our bonds even more, to create more common standards, always respecting the characteristics of each nation, but always together. At this time, it is more necessary more than ever. Thank you very much. Thank you, Giuliano. Juan? Likewise, this has been a very valuable conversation in a critical moment like this one to know about the experiences and the view of Brazil. I think that they are going one step ahead because they've had to accommodate their operations to a new reality. That's what's next for us. So we have a lot to talk about with Juliano, so he can share with us Brazil's experience. And thank you, Jaime, because Jaime has always has a broad and well-structured view of the challenges we'll be facing. And thank you, Fabio, very much for giving us this opportunity. I hope that we will have many more of these opportunities to discuss matters in the region, because we have a lot to learn from each other. Thank you, Juan. Thank you very much for your leadership, you, Juliano, to guarantee the survival of aviation in this moment. And of course, with the idea of joining actions as of now, so that we may all see a prompt recovery of the system. Jaime, your final thoughts. How can a regional organization, which is in the front line of the battle, can see this? Well, in the midst of all this crisis, I think that I'm glad that we're all together in this battle and that we are listening to each other with an open mind, and that we can learn from Colombia, from Juliana, Brazil, from Fabio Rabani and Ikeo Sam. With this view, where there is not one single valid answer, because everything has changed. Tomorrow, we will literally find a new world. We'll see that everything will be different. I'm sure that just as it happened to us before, we'll also win this battle. And I think that we will find a far better world. This is the first of many talks, Fabio. Once again, thank you very much for this initiative, for the invitation. Thank you very much, Jaime. Thank you very much to all our guests who have shared with us their experiences, the challenges they face, what they have done. The purpose of this talk has actually been to convey all our listeners, and I hope we reach all the leaders in the region, in the Spanish-speaking countries, about the measures we're adopting and the actions that we think are necessary in order to guarantee the continuation of aviation, keeping its main role, which is to be a means of transport, a safe and efficient logistic means to allow for the economic and social development of our people. The core message here is cooperation, collaboration, and a comprehensive view in the understanding that all this will be over, but it should not affect aviation on a permanent basis. We need to work on this. We need to convey this message, and we need to work together in this process. Thank you very much to all our listeners. May you all stay healthy and with your families.